Your main area is to recruit the right people and bring them into the business because you're the only one with the vision. That's the only thing that you can't outsource, right? So as the visionary, you need to now shift into the position of being the recruiter to bring in the right people that are going to take you there.
It's not necessary that you need to go and fire a whole team wholesale today and replace them, but also look at the people and skills that got to where you are today and not necessarily the skills and people that will take forward. So what is the transformation you may need from your existing staff to be new people, not necessarily physically different, but who do they need to become to take you to the next level as well?
Welcome to the Influence by Design podcast. I'm Samantha Riley, authority positioning strategist for coaches and experts. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more than just a caffeine addiction, and you dream of making more money, having more time, and having the freedom to be living your best life, then you're in the right place. It's time to level up.
Welcome to today's episode of Influence by Design. I'm your co-host for today, Samantha Riley, and joined by the lovely Tim Hyde. How are you, Tim? We haven't had a chat for a couple of weeks now.
It's been a few weeks. You've been busy in Summit Land and birthdaying
I have been.
as well. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
And we're up to April already.
I know. Where is the year going? It's just flying by. But something that I did for my birthday, and I am so glad I did this because I had the most fabulous birthday, was I flew down to Adelaide to go and see Stephen Bartlett's, what's he call it, Business and Life Tour. And it was fabulous. I cannot highly recommend it enough. If there is anyone listening that gets a chance after they've heard this to go to a city near you, I highly recommend it. And for those who don't know who Stephen Bartlett is, he is the host of Diary of a CEO or DOAC podcast, which is the fastest growing podcast in the world, faster than Joe Rogan, which I think is, good reason to stand up and pay attention to this person, but has amazing business acumen, had an exceptionally successful business. He's one of the dragons on Dragon's Den, which is I know it's called
The
Dragon's Den in
BBC
Canada as well, but
version of Shark Tank.
that's it. And this guy's only 31 years old, and he is just someone to really lean in and listen to because he is a very, very smart dude. Not only did I get to go and watch him, but I got to meet him in person. And let me tell you, did I fangirl? Yes, I did. I
Wow.
said, with people I walked, met the next day, I said, I walked in a fangirl, walked out a 3X fangirl. He's a fabulous guy.
Well, look,
You can tell that.
anyone who's made it, onto a sort of tour of another country for a start, right? It's easy enough to do. But, to be recognized and, as one of the sort of panelists on a sort of investment show is clearly done their work. To have that podcast accolade off the back of it. And I've watched a couple of his podcasts since he was introduced to me, only very recently. I'm like, who is this guy? Where did he come from?
Right.
They're like,
Yeah.
just came out of nowhere practically. But, look, 31, he's been in business for 11 years already, or 12 years. I think he started as a nine, started a social media site as a 19 year old. So not social media agency as
Was
a
an
19.
agency, yeah.
All right, but one of my big takeaways from that was like, again, surround yourself with really good people and you get out of their way.
Absolutely.
And cannot stress that enough because it's a message that keeps coming up for me. I know it does for you as well, Sam. Right? Surround yourself with really good people and get out of your way. And to go there on your birthday, like actually go and see a speaker for your birthday rather than, going to a pool or a resort or a nice restaurant. You were already, I reckon you're already a 3X fangirl, and now you probably moved to 10.
Fair call. But what I was going to say was one of my takeaways from meeting him in person is that it's not just his mind that got him to where he is in business.
Boom.
He was exceptionally interested in me. He was very, very present. There was a, you know, there was people around behind us, and he was just so focused on me and the conversation that we were having. And he was so present, like he was so focused. And it just showed that the soft skills that are needed to run a successful company or successful companies. Like now he's involved in multiple companies, I believe almost outweighs, you know, like the mindset of getting your head around the numbers and so forth, if that makes sense.
The technical and financial expertise required. That's really interesting you say that, because my friend Angela went to see him in Sydney and she's like, I didn't know who this guy was either. I don't know why she went to get VIP tickets to this dude without knowing who he was in advance. But she found the same thing, and she commented specifically on how present he felt, you know, in those moments where they were having that one-on-one conversation. And actually, as a result of that, made her feel really special. I know that's the experience that you've had as well. And I think,
100%.
I think you think about that, you know, when you meet with your team, like even just having your phone out, flip it over on the desk. But while your phone's out and you know, even if it's face down, like where's the priority? Is the priority the phone or is the priority being present and having this conversation?
Totally.
And it's certainly something that I've been trying to do this year, is be more present with my conversation. So, you know, if I'm going on a date, like the phone doesn't come out and get sat on the table. It goes in my pocket.
No, it needs to be away. Absolutely.
Right. And I could probably leave it in the car if I needed to.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, it's those sorts of things, I think, is, you know, I'm noticing more and more and more about these really influential business leaders. They're really present and really focused on the person whom they're with. I've noticed, I've started seeing it in a lot of Gary Vaynerchuk's videos as well. I don't know if he necessarily intends to do that, but when he's talking to someone, he's kind of really in with them. He's being their life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and very, very intently focused on what's going on in that moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
What were your other takeaways? Because I know you had a few. And one that you mentioned when we were planning this episode and we spoke yesterday as well, was that the people you got to where you are now are not necessarily the people you take to the next level.
Absolutely.
Tell me more about that.
And obviously we're talking about team here.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the different levels of growth in your business, because obviously at different stages in your business require different activities. And when you're starting your company, there's a hustle. There's a lot of things that need to be done. There's a small amount of people wearing lots and lots of hats. But to be able to move forward and take your business to the next level, there needs to be specialists, and the generalists you may need to let go of to make room for the specialists, because you probably won't be able to change their mindset of, well, we did that hustle and we did it that way, but now things have to change. So he talked about bringing different people in and maybe having to let go of the people that you got there. And we've mentioned it on this podcast before, it is extremely difficult to make these decisions. But, you know, as the CEO of your business, you need to make the hard decisions. So you need to make sure that you're inviting the right people on the bus. And he talked about, as a CEO, about you needing to take off the hat yourself of being the person that's in the business to actually being the recruiter, so that your main area is to recruit the right people and bring them into the business, because you're the only one with the vision. That's the only thing that you can't outsource, right? So as the visionary, you need to now shift into the position of being the recruiter to bring in the right people that are going to take you there. And that for me was a bit of an aha moment. You know, I knew it was all about the people. We've talked about it being the team a lot, but having that shift of being the recruiter, that now you're looking out for the right people to bring in, that was a huge shift for me.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it. This transition from coconut lifestyle to coconut business to actual kind of, you know, thing that's going to scale and grow. And what I mean by the coconut business, right, is this idea of portability, that you'll take your laptop and you'll sit on a beach somewhere drinking, you know, a coconut water out of a coconut kind of thing, which is, it's just wonderful, right? But it's all you, and most people don't go and sit on the beach even if they could.
Right? You get sand in your laptop.
It's not great. Okay. But it's all on you. There's no real breaks. You know, if you do have a break, you don't keep making money. And at some point you do transition. My insight from what you just said, Sam, is not necessarily that you need to go and fire a whole team wholesale today.
No.
But also look at the people and skills that got to where you are today, and not necessarily the skills and people that will take forward. So what is the mm-hmm. transformation you may need from your existing staff
mm-hmm.
to be new people, not necessarily physically different?
Mm-hmm.
But who do they need to become to take you to the next level as well? So if you've actually got
100%.
A team possible, it's not necessarily fire that lot and hire new people. It's like, who do the existing team need to become next in terms of their skill sets to take you to that next level as well? Right.
Absolutely.
So it's not necessarily recruitment, it's also, but it is very much about that people thing and looking at them and saying, can you become this new person that I need? And if you can't, there's the door. Right. But
yep.
if you can, what do I need you to give you to, for you to become the person I need to deliver me this next business?
Absolutely. 100%. So that was definitely a big takeaway. Oh, there were so many.
We're not going to go through all of them. But
We'd
be here all day.
He talked about we would be here for the next 2 weeks. There is just so much to unpack. But he talked about painting the back of the fence. And he talked about the story that most people paint the front of their fence. But let's just say you've got shrubs on the back of your fence. You wouldn't generally paint it. But then there might be parts of the fence that are showing, and it just doesn't look as good as the front of the fence. And he talked about the concept of paying attention to the details that others wouldn't. And this is something that it wasn't my aha. I had a very different takeaway from this. And the takeaway was, I know that this has always been my strength. You know, back in my dance days, my parents used to say to me, oh, we don't need a row of that extra, braid on that costume. And I'll say, yes, we do. And they would always come back to me afterwards and say, we didn't believe you at the time, but now we've seen it.
Right.
It's that detail, it was that little bit that made us stand apart. And now I do it with my, with my design team. I'm like, oh, it's not quite right. I want you to do this and this. And sometimes there'll be much frustration of, a design going backwards and forwards for 3 days, even a week. And actually for some posters for my last event, it happened for like 3 weeks. And I could tell there was much frustration. But it's the details. And if I hadn't have gone backwards and forwards with the designers, the posters would have gone up and they probably would have been okay. But in actual fact, because I really paid attention to the details and I wanted them to be just right, what happened was everyone walked in and took photos of themselves next to these pictures.
Wow.
Because they were all just like, oh my God, they're amazing. Even to the point that when I went up to the printer to pick them up, she had them leaning against the front counter because she said, I wanted people to see them. They are fabulous. So, and it's just, it's that idea of, we say don't sweat the small stuff, or I can't even think of, there was a book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
No.
But sometimes to go to that next level, we actually do need to sweat the small stuff. That is what's going to help you to stand out and stand apart. So that for me was like a nice confirmation of, I knew I was different and I'm so glad it's not just me.
No, it's not. But it is. It doesn't take much to stand out from other people, right? Generally mm-hmm. speaking, your competition will set a really, really low bar of quality of service.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think there's this juxtaposition, particularly when people are sort of not charging very much. Right? So many businesses I know you and I have seen and worked with do not charge mm-hmm. enough for their services. And as a result of that, trying to remain profitable, they have to compromise somewhere else, right? And it's usually compromised on the delivery and completeness of the service offering or the product offering, mm-hmm. right? So we do a little bit less and it's doesn't quite get us where we want to go. I liken it to trying to put fuel in a rocket, right? If you don't put enough fuel into it, it never gets to atmosphere, no matter how many times you do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And there's so much of that, but just doing that little bit extra, right? That little bit of extra diligence, that little bit of extra process, that little bit of extra completeness in what it is that you do actually makes a massive difference in the end result.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're hiring a painter, right, understand the process of most of the work is not the coat of paint. It's actually preparing the surface for the coat of paint.
Yeah.
In your business, if it's some other coaching solution you're doing, right, it's mostly in the preparation and communication. Right. So if you just do the product but don't communicate it, well, then your customer's going, I'm not sure what's happening next.
But I think also, you know, even going beyond that, Sam, it's also now coming back and constantly reviewing what it is you're doing and making those little minor incremental improvements as you do it.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. What's your takeaway? We're only going to cover four.
I was going to say, I want to cover two more because I think that these are really important. But this one is really stand for something. And in standing for something, understanding that you're going to piss some people off, that 80% of the people in your world are going to actually get pissed off, not agree. But in your, and I'll say our world, you know, we can hold ourselves back and dilute our message because we don't want to annoy people. But in doing that, we're really diluting our message. And only 20% of people in our world are going to be like all in on what we're doing anyway, or really interested in what we're doing. So why aren't we just like really fully standing for that? You know, being bland kind of attracts no one. You might have a lot of people following you, but does it actually turn into anything? And I know that sort of before the event, Leon had looked up the reviews for Diary of a CEO podcast. And his reviews have an average of like 4.something%, which means he's got, and because he's got thousands and thousands of reviews, this means there's actually thousands and thousands of people that haven't given him a 5-star review. Now, his show is the best produced show I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, how could people not give him a 5-star review? And then Leon unpacked it. He really stands for something. So in his interviews, he gets really vulnerable and asks the questions that other people are afraid to ask. So in that way, he's going, well, this is the truth. Like, this is the thing. Like, we're going deep. What's happening is he's pissing some people off.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of bad reviews. But the people like me that are in his world that are like, no, we love this. You know, we're going to fully lean in. So I think it's like, not just standing for something, but really 100% just going all in and I'm leaning into this message.
Yeah. Mutual acquaintance of both of ours, Steve Rossman, is fond of saying something very similar. He says, you know, when you stand for something, people will kind of walk towards you. When you stand against something, boldly stand against something, people will flock towards you.
Yeah.
Not everybody will, but your people will.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult, I think, you know, in today's society to actually boldly be able to say, look, this is what I'm against. Okay. This is what I'll tolerate. This is what I, you know, this is who I am. So as much as they're saying, hey, we want to help businesses grow, but be really clear what you stand against. But we're against slavery, you know, child trafficking, we're against drugs, whatever it happens to be, right? We're against the Liberal Party. I don't know, pick something.
I'm not going into politics. I boldly stand against talking about politics.
Whatever it is for you, you know, stand against it and boldly stand against it despite the criticism that you can get, because you'll find people go, okay, I appreciate that, right? That's bold, that's courageous.
Well, I think that this is something that I've leaned into just in the last couple of years. I never used to talk about my spiritual practices. You know, a lot of people call it woo-woo or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk about, you know, the crystals or the tarot cards or the, you know, the energy.
You love your crystals and tarot cards, don't you?
I do. And I never used to talk about it because I was afraid that some people would think I was flaky.
Yeah.
Where now I'm like, no, if there was a continuum between bro marketer and fully woo-woo person, I'm firmly in the middle. We need both. But it's holistic. And now I'm very much, no, if you're not into, you know, the energetic principles that I talk about, then generally I'm not going to be for you.
Yeah.
But if you are, you're most likely going to lean in and say, how does that relate to getting your messaging right, getting your mindset right, you know, getting your financials right? So I've definitely discovered this a little bit for myself, but after listening to his talk, it's something that I'm going to lean into even more.
Yeah, I think that's like so powerful. And you're absolutely right, you know, by standing against something, by actually going, you know, and I've noticed since we've started done this podcast, and it's now we're approaching 600 odd episodes, you've leaned into that really a lot more and not worried about it as much. Mm-hmm. You're not worried about whether people go, oh, I'm not into that. You just don't care anymore. And that's okay. No.
Exactly. Yeah, because I've discovered that I'm still the same business person. It's just what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Talk to me about number four.
Okay. This one was really interesting. And actually, he had a good conversation with some of the people, or he brought up some of the conversations he'd had in the with some of the VIPs before the event. And this was something that really started to get me thinking. And that's the concept that every business, so if you think of your business at its success point being on a summit, and we always think about sort of going up the summit, you know, we start up and then we grow and then we get to the summit, we've kind of made it. But there's only one way to go from the summit, and that's down. And he talked about really starting to understand the thing that's going to kill you. So what are the things in your industry that are coming up that are going to kill you? What are the mindset things? What is the team like? What are the things that are going to happen in your industry or in your business that's actually going to kill you? And this was really, really interesting, because I think a lot of people are very afraid of change. They're very afraid of innovation, especially when you're reaching the summit or when you're at the summit, because you're at a point where you're like, I've done all this stuff and I know it works. So because I know it works, I'm going to just keep doing more of that, you know. But then you think about the Kodaks and the Blockbusters of the world who, you know, had that thought and, you know, they kept doing what they knew because they were afraid of what was coming. They were afraid of change. But change is going to happen. So what is it in your industry that's going to change that could potentially be your demise? And instead of being afraid of it, fully lean into it and start to invest in failing and innovating so that you can always be on the front foot.
I think this actually brings us a really, and I haven't actually considered this before, this actually brings us a really nice little circle back to one of the first points you made, Sam, was that about as the CEO, you're not just looking at what your team are doing, making sure that you've got the right people there. You talked about vision. Right? Mm-hmm. And a vision is not just an imaginary thing that says, this is where we're going, right? Vision almost implies that you are looking up and around at what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we will achieve a $50 million exit within 3 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. Vision's actually, you know, as you say that, I'm going, well, vision's actually looking up and saying, well, what is on the horizon? Mm-hmm. What is going to trip us up? We're on this path. But what's coming down the pipeline? What's happening internally? Right? Vision implies looking up and looking around and seeing what is going on and responding accordingly, not closing down that and not looking up.
Yeah, it's the Kodak looking down the track and seeing that people are using digital cameras and not doing anything about that. I mean, gosh, what happened after digital cameras? Phones. Everyone walking around with an amazing phone in their, you know, an amazing camera in their pocket. They couldn't have predicted it like right back then, but if they had have kept looking forward, they could have somehow changed that company. I don't know how, just as we're spitballing here, but it's about going, all right, well, this is happening. Instead of putting our heads in the sand, what can we do? What can we do to innovate? And he talked a lot about, you know, the only way that you're going to know what's going to stick and what isn't is to invest in that failure. So as simple as getting $1,000 and putting $100 into 10 different places, seeing what works and what doesn't. Nine of them are not going to work, but one of them is. And then you kind of put your time and money into that. And you continue that process all the time, all day, every day. And I found that quite an interesting thought. That's the only way that we're going to be able to stay ahead is to fail more. And that was his number one, you know, parting message to me as I left him. And, it, you know, he wrote me a little note, fail more. And it, you know, that was, I guess, my biggest takeaway, that the only way that we're going to be able to grow our business is to fail more. It is the only way.
Well, Sam, that, I mean, those are like just orphan things. And I think it's something we should almost write on the inside of our eyelids as we go to bed.
100%.
Go, all right, what do I need to do differently? And I know, you know, I mean, that was just four of so many takeaways that you've had. And I know that you've got a big long list there of things that you go, okay, well, how does this apply to us and where we're going? And certainly looking forward to seeing the transformation that happens in your business as a result over the next, you know, 6, 12, 24 months.
Yeah.
As you take some of these ideas and, you know, implement them, but again, see what happens and pivot and adjust accordingly.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for asking the questions and giving me another chance to talk about what was one of the best events I have ever been to. He was truly a remarkable man to meet and very much inspired me to step up to the next level. So thanks for allowing me to relive just a small part of that again.
You're welcome. Well, like birthday present.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. And thank you for listening into another episode. We look forward to catching you next week on another episode of Influence by Design.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Influence by Design podcast. If you want more, head over to influencebydesignpodcast.com for the show notes and links to today's gifts and sponsors. And if you're looking to connect with other experts who are growing and scaling their business too, join us in the Coaches, Thought Leaders and Changemakers community on Facebook. The links are waiting for you over at influencebydesignpodcast.com.